Thank you for joining us today on Face to Face. Well, this is kind of a new thing for us. For a number of years, for 28 years, quite honestly, we were on the radio and doing interviews for the radio, but we've gone strictly now to our podcast. And this is something that's a little different. If you're not familiar with Face to Face is a ministry that I was able to start about 30 years ago, in which we interview Christian athletes. And been about 500 athletes over the years. And I have so many tapes and so many various interviews that I have done that sometimes I like to go back and just pull one or pull an interview that I have done, listen to it and say, wonder where this person is now and I wonder how he's doing or she's doing. And that's what we've got today. We got a guy, Kevin Streelman, is a PGA golfer. I did an interview with Kevin back in 2013 when he was more or less just kind of getting started. And I noticed that a couple of weeks ago, he was very close to winning a tournament, very close to winning the Travelers Championship Tournament in Hartford, Connecticut. And I thought, I've got to pull that interview and make this the first of the podcasts that we do. The Travelers Championship is a pretty good tournament for Kevin. He actually came in second there in 2014. He's won two tournaments on the tour. He, like I said, he won it in 2014. He also won the Tampa Bay Invitational in 2013, actually just a few weeks after we did this interview. He won a tournament. But I went back and I listened to it and I thought, you know, his testimony has not changed. And that's why we do face-to-face. We do face-to-face so that athletes can talk about their faith, can answer questions about their faith, and can let you know that they're more than just athletes, that they are actually followers of Jesus Christ. And that's why I wanted to pull this interview with Kevin Streelman, and I wanted you to hear this. So hope you enjoy this. This is the Kevin Streelman interview that we did from Scottsdale TPC in 2013. Today, we are in a beautiful setting, Scottsdale, Arizona, on the veranda, actually, of the Scottsdale TPC course with rising PGA star Kevin Streelman. Kevin, I guess it's okay to say that you're rising. You certainly, I think as I look at your standings now, you're 23rd in the rankings on the PGA list. And first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's funny to hear rising star, rising golfer, as it's been now my sixth year. It goes so quickly, but yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Kevin, when did you first pick up a golf club?
Yeah, for me, it was a family thing. It was something my mom and dad and I would do on weekends. Growing up in Chicago, we'd run around public golf courses all around the Chicagoland area trying to get twilight rates. You know, I was never a member at a club, at a private club, so we would just search out the good deals or where my tournaments were that upcoming week, you know, based on the high school golf team or where I had junior tournaments at, and we would kind of do practice rounds in that regard. But to this day, they're my two biggest supporters and fans, and couldn't have better mentors and role models as my parents.
You've done well. 2007, you got your playing card. 2008, you were leading on the first day of the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego, and that got you with Stuart Sink and Tiger Woods. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, my rookie year being paired with Tiger was quite an eye-opening experience and an incredibly great learning experience and opportunity. Everything since then has seemed a little bit smaller on scale, and so in that regard, I think it was just an awesome blessing that I was able to experience that early in my career, because I learned a lot. I had a blast. It definitely was a day I won't forget. And it also taught me, you know, that I felt like I belong and I can hang with these guys. And here we are 5 years later, still going at it.
You know, none of us, of course, have ever been in the situation that you've been in. When you're playing with Stuart Sink, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, any of those guys, is there a conversation going on, or are you pretty well focused in between you and your caddy of what's happening?
Sure. It depends on the grouping and kind of the idiosyncrasies of individuals, I would say. But, you know, I like to be very social out on the golf course. I like to have fun and screw around and tell jokes and laugh. And I think for the most part, the majority of the guys feel the same way. I did talk with Tiger quite a bit, and I'm great friends with Stuart, you know, especially even now, and you know, played with most everybody out there. So I like to say I'm good friends and pretty close with most everybody out there.
Do you pay attention to where you are on the money list or where you are in the rankings?
I really try not to until, you know, midsummer, to be honest. I will know. I'll have an idea because we get a text at the end of each tournament telling us which position we're in. So yeah. It's kind of hard to stay away from that. But my rookie year, that was something I battled with a lot and struggled with. And you know, the Chicago Tribune was having like a Strelman counter where I was on the money list and all this pressure just having to keep your card in a money list. And it just was kind of a shallow feeling in existence, to be honest. So I really try and not put much credence in that anymore.
A lot of golfers, of course, come from the South or come from the West Coast. I don't know how many golfers there are that come out of the Chicago area. Are you one of the unique few to be a golfer from Chicago?
Yeah, there, you know, there aren't a ton of us out there. DA Points is from Pekin, Illinois. Now we got a couple of University of Illinois kids. Luke Guthrie was from Central Illinois, and Langley. I think Scott Langley has just graduated and had a good start to the year as well. But traditionally, there haven't been a ton of, you know, Mark Wilson now lives in Chicago, but he grew up in the Green Bay area, Wisconsin. But yeah, not a ton of Midwesterners out there, but most of the Midwesterners that are out there, Jerry Kelly, Steve Stricker, they're really good guys.
It seems like golfers can never take a day off. Your season is so long, and you go, of course, 6 days a week. Is there constant pressure, maybe even more so than if you were in a team sport?
If you let it get to you, yes. There's always something to be playing for. You know, Thursdays, you want to get off to a great start. Friday, you got to make the cut. Saturday, you really want to move. And then Sunday, you got to put a finishing stamp on the weekend. So it's a constant push. You're right. You don't have much of a team out there except for yourself and your caddy as far as walking with you. And I've got an incredible support structure besides that with my wife and family and friends and Faith. And so it's a lot of fun. You accept the fact that you're not going to play great every single week. You really do. You know, Joe Ogilvie told me my rookie year, he goes, you know, you're only going to make 80% of your money in 20% of your tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies to a lot of professions too. It's like, you know, your big deals, you only make a couple of them a year. So you try and focus for when those putts are falling to get ready to run. And if not, sometimes you got to grind and get through the battle.
Do you pay attention mostly to your own game, or do you think about your competition when you're out there?
I try and just focus on my own game. It's all I can control is my preparation, you know, my swing thought for the day. I try and make it pretty simple, you know, whether it's a grip pressure thing, whether it's, you know, feeling a center of gravity somewhere, just something light, something simple that I can control. But with this game, you can't grind at last second. It's just like cramming for a test. It just doesn't work. I put my work in a lot of my off weeks so that when I show up to a tournament, I'm ready to go.
Are you pretty much on the road all the time, or do you get a chance to come home? And you live in Scottsdale, so do you get a chance to come home periodically, or are you pretty much out there on the road?
We're pretty much gone 35 weeks a year, and that's really gone 35 weeks a year. I'm home this week, the week of the Torrey Pines event, and I played the last two. I'll play Phoenix next week and then head up to Pebble and Riviera, so I'll have 3 weeks in a row. It usually ends up we go three or 4 weeks on and then 1 week off at home. And then I have most of November and December off at the end of the season. But we get rocking and rolling pretty good come March, really through September.
You get to a place to where you've got so much time, you're so involved in the tournaments. When does your practice time actually come?
Yeah, you got to be smart about that. You know, we're usually in pro-ams on Wednesdays. I try and completely take off Monday, especially if I played well on the weekend. And then Tuesday I use as kind of my work day. I'll look at the course this upcoming week. And I almost look at it like a NASCAR driver. They don't have the same car every week. The course is different. The environment's different. The track's different. Just like for us, the ball in Phoenix here goes a lot further than it does at Pebble Beach. So I need to be prepared for that, know my distances, and also know the type of grass I'm chipping on and putting on, and, you know, plan accordingly in order to make my game as ready for that weekend as I can.
What's the strongest part of your game right now?
It's statistically right now, my putting stat is pretty high up there, and that's also why I got off to a good start. I've worked really hard in this off season, my putting. I've installed a little putting deal in my basement that's helped me out quite a bit, called the Dream Green. And I've always been a good ball striker ever since I was a kid, so that was never been an issue. I've always been a really good iron player and driver of the ball. But when I get the putts falling is when I find myself, you know, top five, top 10 in tournaments.
When you're out there practicing, and I've heard other golfers ask this same question, when you're out there practicing, do you try to work on your strengths or your weaknesses? Do you want to make your strengths stronger or your weaknesses?
Well, everyone enjoys working on their strengths because they're good at them, but everyone needs to work on their weaknesses because they need to improve on them. And that takes some discipline and hard work. And like I said, this offseason I worked really hard on my putting, and I'm starting to see that apply in tournament play, which is neat.
Kevin Streelman is our guest here on Face to Face. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about his personal life. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Kevin Streelman on a beautiful day here in Scottsdale, at the Scottsdale TPC course. Is this your home course?
It's I live in Greyhawk, just north of here, so I usually either practice down here at TPC, or I'm a member of a place called Whisper Rock, where there's about 15 PGA Tour members at up north, and that's where I usually go to practice. But this week and next week, obviously, I'll be here at TPC getting ready for the tournament.
This has not been an easy road for you to get to the status that you're at. I was reading some things in the Lynx magazine, and you mentioned that you follow the Zach Johnson model. Zach Johnson was the winner of the 2007 Masters, another strong Christian golfer. What does it mean to follow the Zach Johnson model?
Well, you know, Zach, I'll be the first one to tell you, and he wasn't always the number one player on his team. He wasn't the All-American. He never had all the press talking about him and the phenom he was going to be. But he had a dream, he had a vision, and he had a plan. And he went day by day, improving a little bit each day, and improving a little bit each time he teed up a golf ball. And that was the same way for me. I was never an All-American. I won one golf tournament in college. It wasn't a major by any means. But when I got done with college, I wanted to give it a shot. I had some friends told me they thought I had a chance, and got my butt kicked the first couple years. But it inspired me to work that much harder. And it's just been work ethic and determination and grit and belief in a purpose, and stuck at it, and you know, now been out here our sixth year.
When you came out of high school, you had a number of offers. You ended up at Duke, which of course is a great place to play golf. But I understand you're a basketball fan too. Did that have anything to do with picking Duke as your school?
Yeah, it probably had a little bit to do with it, to be honest. I was definitely intrigued by the warm weather of North Carolina, coming from Chicago. And it really came down between Northwestern, Vanderbilt, and Duke for me. I'd worked hard on my grades and did well in school, so I was fortunate to be able to go to a good academic school. But Duke just had that perfect combination of great athletics and great academics, and also, you know, a fun social scene too.
You had a number of years where you were out on the road, 5 to 6 years of mini tours, which is like golf's minor leagues, and I think it's even tougher than minor league. You're out there by yourself, basically, yeah, trying to, and unlike even minor league ball players, if you don't do well, you don't get paid, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about the mini tours.
You know, I have so many stories. I did the math once, and I drove by myself between 350 and 400,000 miles in 6 years. Burned out 3 cars.
Wow.
With a dream. And you're right. There's no one with you. In the back seat, I had one of those racks between the, you know, between the two handlebars that had all my clothes on it. The trunk was stuffed with golf clubs and golf balls and equipment. The front seat was kind of my office, which I had my laptop computer and a map. It was before the iPhone and maps and everything, so I would have that Rand McNally, that big map, and I'd be
big Atlas.
I'd be trying to figure out how to get from tournament to tournament, and you know, just showing up for playing for a couple $100 or a couple $1,000, whatever it took to get better.
I know that Christ, of course, has played an important part of your life. When did Christ really come into your life and be the major focus?
Yeah, you know, I was born into a very religious family. I grew up going to Episcopalian church, and it was kind of something to me that was important, but yet it was also a thing that was kind of just there on Sundays, and it was something that was in the body of that church. And when I met my wife Courtney, and we sat down, we started talking about faith, we both said, you know what, if we really believe that Christ was who he said he was and continues to be who he said he is, then we need to make some changes in our lives. And when we came to that realization and that belief together, then our lives changed. You know, our priorities changed, and our identities changed. And so I'm very blessed that I was able to, you know, that we were put together to help each other through that. And it was something that we always called ourselves Christians, but we weren't walking the walk. We could talk the talk, but we weren't walking the walk. And now we, not that I've got it down perfect by any means, or nor does anyone on this earth, but I have a purpose and a faith in something a lot bigger than anything on any golf course or any money list or any car or any house could ever own. And it's faith in the King.
How do you prepare spiritually for a tournament?
I hand it all off to him. You know, I ask every morning for the opportunity to use my gifts and to use my platform to help others, to inspire others, to love on others, be it great or be it terrible as far as a result. But it's so hard in this sport. At the end of the day, you know, that they see your name and then they see a number next to it. And then there's people all over the world who see it and they think they can judge your great day or bad day just based on that number. And they have no idea what happened to give you that number. And so to be totally immersed and to have your full existence based on that number, and whether that number is a money list on the PGA Tour or the NBA or a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, someone unemployed right now, to think that their worth is based on something so silly down on this world. It's a sad place to live, and it's not a place that you need to live.
And yet, your game has to be so precise. It can be a missed putt can mean thousands of dollars, a lot of points. You can get down there to where if you're in 50th place, there can be a 10 or 12 man tie for 50th place, oh, yeah. And you miss cuts and things like that. So, has there ever been? I'm sure there has when you're on the mini tours. But even now, do you still have to deal with frustration, even as much as you try? Still have to deal with the frustration of saying,
yeah,
"Lord, I wanted this tournament and I didn't get it."
Absolutely. You fail almost every week you play professional golf. I mean, there's only one winner, if that's how you look at it. But it's really not how I look at it. I try my absolute best each and every day. I try my best on the golf course. I try my best off the golf course. And I just want to look myself in the mirror at the end of the day and say, "Lord, I tried my best, but I want to get better tomorrow." And hopefully at the end of the whole journey, it's going to be a decent place to be.
What's the spiritual atmosphere like on the tour? I know that this is, I know that there are a number of guys out here who seem to have Jesus Christ at the center of their life like you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We've got a study we do Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights of the tournament week, and a lot of us get together and I actually bring my guitar along. I play a song or two to get us started. We have some guest speakers come out. We've got some individuals with FCA, some guys with College Golf Fellowship, some guys with Search Ministries, some different pastors and some different chaplains that come out and help lead us and guide us. And we just get together and love on each other and share for an hour and a half. And you know, kind of just get together and get in the word.
Last year, you came in the top 10, a couple of tourneys, and I know that draws more of the crowds. And of course, when you're playing, I guess, in front of 100,000 people, and every step somebody's with you. Is that does that kind of kick in a little bit of adrenaline for you, or is that? I'm certain it's a lot different than playing some of the mini tours when there's nobody out there.
Yeah, and going back to what I said earlier, like that playing with Tiger early in the final group was a real eye-opening experience that I really look forward to that now. I enjoy playing in front of people. I enjoy having the opportunity to be a good disciple in front of people. To be honest, it's and that can be tough because we all fall short. So you know, to have a big stage and to also have a lot of emotions running through your body as far as you know, playing well or playing poorly, you got to be careful at times, but we enjoy it.
What's your favorite course?
You know, Cypress Point next to Pebble Beach up there is probably my favorite golf course. There's so many great. Augusta's incredible. Shinnecock's amazing. I grew up caddying at Chicago Golf Club, which is one of my favorites. This week here, the Phoenix Open is probably the most fun tournament on the PGA Tour to have They have 600,000-700,000 people through here throughout the week, and so it's a good party and a lot of good energy around it.
And you've also you get a chance to play in the pro ams. Who are some of the ams that you've played with that might be famous?
You know, my the last 2 years at Pebble, I played with Toby Mack. We've had a blast together, and unfortunately, he can't make it. He's on the Winter Wonderland tour this this February, and they're going to be out east. But he's become a very close friend of mine. We're doing some pretty cool things away from the course too, with each other's work and each other's fellowship. But you know, I've played with a bunch of guys: Chris O'Donnell, Luke Wilson, Brian Urlacher.
That has to be a lot of fun, just seeing who you're going to...
Yeah, seeing a bunch of different people and people that I, you know, follow in their sports or their, you know, professions. And it's the coolest thing about golf, that we can all get together. We can all... you have a handicap and you can play against anybody.
Yeah.
You know, how many people can't get on the court with LeBron right before a game and really shoot hoops with them, but you can, you know, get in a pro-am with Zach Johnson or Ben Crane and play golf with them the day before a tournament.
And thank goodness for guys like myself, there's that handicap system. Kevin Streelman, it has been a terrific time. Just a fantastic place here at Scottsdale. And I want to wrap it up this way. What is your favorite verse, if you have one?
You know, I write it on a lot of my golf balls, too, Joshua 1:9. And it said, "The Lord commandeth, be strong, be courageous, banish fear and doubt from your life, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go."
That's a great verse that Joshua used right before they marched into the Promised Land. Yep. Kind of symbolic there.
Yep.
Kevin Streelman, our guest, thank you again for being a part of Face to Face, and I look forward to meeting you again sometime.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the time that we did with Kevin Streelman. He has really come along since 2013. In 2020, he has been second twice. We talked about that one there at the Travelers that he did it. Right now, he's in the top 100, one of the top 100 golfers in the world. He's number 91. And he's had some interesting things happen to him as far as getting to know people. You heard him talk about the Pro-Am. Pro-Am this year, he got a chance to play with Larry Fitzgerald of the Arizona Cardinals, and that was out in Scottsdale. And also, he got a set of golf clubs that were given to him by President Trump in 2018. I thought that was pretty interesting. And in 2015, he won the Masters Par 3 contest. So he's done very, very well, and it's always good to... I had a chance to text him, and he actually texted me back and said thanks, and wanted to let him know that I was praying for him. And that's what we do. We pray for athletes, stay in touch with them, particularly during this time of the COVID, particularly at a time when athletes are having a hard time, just in many cases, getting to their sport. But as you probably know, in the PGA, they're playing without fans, unless you count the people who, in many cases, are on their patio or on their decks, barbecuing or whatever, a few yards away in some cases. And those are the only fans. There's no fans really at the tournaments. But those are the only fans, and those are the ones that are providing the encouragement. And I know that when we send out encouragement to not just players in the PGA, but football players, baseball players, I know that this is a time when they particularly are happy that we're doing the encouragement for them. And we hope that you'll do that too. We hope that you'll check out more of the interviews that we have on our website here at facetofaceradio.com and see how you like some of those. We also would like to hear your comments. We have a comment button. You can send us positives, negatives. We read them all, and feel free to check in there and let us know what you think about face to face. We'd be be happy for that. We also want to encourage you, and I want to let you know that each time we do a podcast, we want to close with a verse. And the verse that I have found in this one is Matthew 6:1, which says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men or to be seen by them. And if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So hope you enjoyed our interview today. As we have said for 28 years, we want to close our podcast this way, which is, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Thank you, and we look forward to being able to talk to you again sometime. Goodbye.